Do a couple of knee bends. That'll help you up, just kind of stretch out a little bit, maybe turn around and quickly wave to somebody. Or I'm not going to make you change seats. So everybody move to the front. Joker, am I off center or what? You want to take it? You got to get a cordless thing. Well, okay, thank you. You can sit back down. So first of all, I'm a little more nervous. Like Reggie was talking about paper shaking, and so my knees are shaking. And I've done this before.
Once or twice.
34 years of public education, speaking before thousands upon thousands of kids, but something about being in a church makes it a little more nervous. But the reason I'm a little more nervous is because the Lord put some stuff on my heart over the last 50 years that I want to try to put into today.
50 years?
But also, just the testimonies. I mean, I guess we could stop right here. Sometimes I'm thinking maybe we should stop right here and be done, because we've already had a great time of worship. But on the other hand, he's put some stuff on my heart that he wants me to share, and I need to figure out how to condense it so that we're not here, you know, for a couple hours. But and it has to do with New Year's resolutions. And so we've already had, this is my story, this is my song, praise of my Savior all the day long. Thanks, John. My Messiah, Reggie, that was your song, right?
Yep.
Fit in perfect. Hold my ground. Shout your praise. 10,000 reasons, it all fits in with the message. And so New Year's resolutions, when you think of resolutions, you know, what do you think about? Just shout out a word and I'll repeat it so that the people, by the way, hi guys on Zoom, I see some familiar faces up there. Resolutions.
Stop smoking.
Wait.
Huh?
Wait. Lose the weight.
Oh, okay. But the definition, right? Resolutions. What's it mean?
Promises.
Resolve.
Commitment. Resolve. Oh, maybe you might get change something?
Yeah. What was it? Wait,
resolve.
Huh?
Repentance.
Repentance.
Commitment.
excuse me. The term resolution refers to a firm decision. Not just, well, I think I'm going to do that. A firm decision to do or not to do something. To behave in a certain way. To think a certain way. In Latin, the word, well, the RE is again or back. And solution is to loosen, change, undo. And it requires commitment, courage, mental and moral strength. To go versus the flow and against the status quo. Well, that's the way it's always been. I survived this longer than that, and I'm going to keep going. It's like a resolution also has to do with going against opposition, going against danger, fighting against danger or hardship. And we talked about 2023. A lot of stuff went on in 2023. A lot of stuff went on for me in 1967. Every year, stuff goes on, right? It's not just 2023 is the worst of my life. They all can be bad. They all can have things that happen to you, but there's also more good than bad, depending on how you look at it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Resolution is also an opportunity and a determination. You made a determination to achieve a vision. And we talked about, that's one of the things we talked about last January, the vision. And Reggie talked about being bold. We'll talk about that a little later too. But you know, the determination, not just I'm going to do it, but determine that you're going to make a change. From a more spiritual angle, action to perform. A commitment chosen to take on or something for the good of other believers. So that's part of it too. And of course, every year we have these resolutions. Somebody already mentioned lose weight, gain weight, you know, change my clothing style, think differently, act differently, some other ones, just throw out some other ones.
Quit smoking.
I'm going to quit smoking.
I did.
Gain weight. I know one time Melinda had me on.
Just exchange it. Dye your hair.
She had me on a sugar-free diet, and I went down to 165, and people were saying, oh, you must be sick, you look terrible. So I said, forget the sugar-free diet, and I went up to 210 after that. And now I'm at my playing weight. But anyway, whatever it is, I mean, it can be anything. I'm going to work out more. I'm going to go to the club more. And I only work out one other time at the club because I'm too busy the rest of the time, but I haven't even taken out a membership yet because I'm still too busy. I can't even keep up with her. So we have all these resolutions that we're going to make. And a lot of times we make them in earnest. We're serious about what we're going to do. And then we change. Well, I'll stop my diet tomorrow. Like that's what we did last week. I'll stop my diet after Christmas. It didn't happen. But. So anyway, eat better, cut out sweets, lose weight, gain weight, go to the gym more often, exercise more, change my hairstyle, too late for that, and other things that we can do in a worldly perspective. Now, I didn't give you any scriptures, Gary, because we're not going to put any up on the screen today, and I'm only going to condense this because of time. But 1 Kings 18, 1 through 21, and I'm just going to paraphrase it very simply. There's a lot going on in 1 Kings chapter 18. Well, 1 Kings also, but chapter 18. So they've had 3 years of a famine, a bad famine. It was particularly severe in the capital of Samaria. Much of the blame will go to the guilty parties, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. We've heard those names before. Some of us have heard those names before. The queen had a plan to replace the worship of God with Baal. And Baal is the god of fertility, weather, war, etc., etc. And then there's another one, another god, Melgad. And that's a Phoenician god associated with the god of the underworld and death, to name a few. So those two gods together made for a bad time in that time in history in 1 Kings 18. So Elijah got some of the Israelites together, and not a lot of them were on board spiritually with this biblical God. But he did get some people together, and there was a showdown between God of the Bible and Baal. They're in the same boat that we're in the United States of America, in my belief. There's this battle going on between God, the God of the universe, and Baal. And, you can talk about stuff going on in the public schools. You can talk about stuff going on in government, mutilation of young people, the gay rights, transgender issues, abortion on demand, corruption, pagan worship, idols, perverted thoughts, deeds, and behavior. United States is there. But in verse 21, and this is the one I want us to focus on today, in verse 21, he challenges them with this. And this is a question I have for you. If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. But you can't serve both. And we do that, maybe in not blatant ways, but we do that, even as believers. Jim, how do you say his last name, Melinda? Jim Caviezel. He was in The Passion and then The Freedom.
Sound
of Freedom. He gave a testimony that Reggie sent to me yesterday, late last night. And basically he was talking about, I lost my train of thought because I was thinking about his language, because he got pretty frustrated. But he basically said, you have to make a choice. You can't serve two people, two gods. So the people in Israel, those people at that time needed to do the same thing that we need to do. They needed to end their double-mindedness. They were wavering between two opinions. They were walking the fence while worshiping two gods. And eventually you have to make a decision. There is one true God and they should follow him completely. This is what they were saying. There's one true God. You should follow him completely with your whole heart and forget about the fake one. They knew he was right and they were speechless. So he gave them the challenge and they knew he was right, so they were speechless. So long story short, in chapter 18, especially the fact that Elijah persevered, he persevered in prayer despite what was going on around him, and eventually a heavy rain descended on the area. And that helped to discredit Baal and his worshipers and humiliated Queen Jezebel. And again, that's a whole other story that we could get into and talk about for hours. So if you want to follow up on that a little bit, read 1 Kings 18, the whole chapter. So here's a big question posed by the Lord, and I'll repeat it. It's kind of not different than I just said, but the Lord said, why are you hesitating? Why are you halting about who you will honor, serve, and trust? Why are you doing that? Another translation says, how long will you keep jumping back and forth between two positions? Make a decision. By changing partners from God to Baal, you support the sacrificing of kids in the moon out. You support violence and death in the streets. You support good being bad, bad being good, truth being lies, and lies being true. Return to me. So that's the challenge. So I guess if I could stop right there and say, that's the challenge for 2024 for me. Return to me. Or if you're there, stay with me. But grow in me. So back to the New Year's resolution topic. Do we as a nation and individuals need to read and have a conviction moment regarding that verse 21? Do we? I mean, that's between you and God, not between me and you. That's between me and God and you and God. Now, wherever you're at in your walk, is a return to God as individuals and a nation necessary? Yes. It needs to switch. Charlie Kirk was talking. He's kind of the head of Turning Point, which is a group of people that are involving young people in biblical stuff. And he was saying the other day, he said, the church can change what's going on in this country. The reason it's going on in this country right now is because the church didn't do what they needed to do. 1 Chronicles 7:14, we're all very familiar with that. If my people, us, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, walk before me faithfully, do all I command, observe my decrees and laws, I will forgive their sin, heal their land, establish your royal throne. And verse 19 said, if you don't, there will be lots of trouble for you. So that's another challenge. We want to follow that little bit here. In 1 Chronicles 7:14. So biblical spiritual resolutions are not about do's and don'ts. That's what happens sometimes in the Christian world. Now, I really don't want to get involved in that church stuff because you can't do this, you can't do that, you better do this. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's about choices that hinder us, that rather than hinder us, free us. So we can make choices where we think, oh, that's not going to be that much fun. When I stopped using alcohol, I thought I was going to miss out on some fun, but I didn't. I got rid of what I thought was fun and really had fun. I haven't had a hangover in 42 years. And that's a good thing. I was talking to a friend of mine, Ken Borges, who was like a pastor that kind of brought Melinda and me together. I used to run with him on Sundays, and he'd say, "Oh, Melinda, she's the best girl for you to wait. You know, you travel the world over, and she's 5 miles up the road." And I'd be like, "No, she's way too young, and I'm not interested." But a year and a half later, he married us. But his church was right across, not even across the street. My fraternity house was right here. His church was right there. I knew him. I wasn't a friend, like friends with him then, but I knew him. I never set foot in that church in 3 days, usually because I couldn't wake up on Sunday morning and get out of bed. So anyway, those days are gone. So I traded in what I thought was fun for really fun. So it's not about do's and don'ts. It's about choices that help us rather than hurt us. It's about heart, the heart. How many times have we talked about that? That's the thing. For Reggie, for me, for John, for Dan, it's about the heart. It starts there. It doesn't start here necessarily, it starts there. It's an attitude where habits become a way of life. Sometimes I think the modern day Christianity, and that's something that Jim was talking about too, the modern day Christianity is about not loving, respecting, fearing God enough, and if he's not enough, nothing is. We're just talking about the prosperity and all that stuff. It's nice to have things, but the prosperity mentality of the modern Christianity thing is not what this is all about. Are there some New Year's resolutions that you and I need to make related to your walk with God, regardless of where you're at? And if you say no, you got a problem, because there are changes that you need to make. That I need to make. That's not between me and you, that's between you and him and me and him. So here are some New Year's resolutions that I'm going to consider. One, revisit and fulfill God's vision for my life, universally, church-wise, and individually. Revisit that. Do you have a vision? Remember we had an assignment, for those of you who were here, we had an assignment that you had to take home. What is God's vision for you? And how does it line up with what you think your vision is for him? So revisit that. I need to revisit that every day. What's my vision? What's his vision for me, and am I fulfilling it? Dance with God rather than limp and stagger with Baal. Dance with God rather than limp and stagger with Baal. Identify and get rid of any fear. There were some things in some of the songs this morning about fear. Identify and get rid of any fear. Any uncertainty, timidity, running from your enemies. Remember we talked, well, I shouldn't say remember, I talked like a lot about leaning into your fears, not backing off, lean into your fears. I can remember a situation one time where I wasn't that keen on being slain in the spirit. I didn't think it was not real, but I didn't. Like the things I'd seen, I saw people push people over. So Melinda and I went to a thing one day. It was kind of a women's thing. There were like two guys there and 50 women. I'm already out of place, right? I said, her focus was on being slain in the spirit. And so I went like this. I didn't go, you know, ready to soak it in. I went with resistance. So I'm sitting in the corner, they had an altar call. I'm sitting in the back corner. Myself, there was another guy over there and 50 women or whatever. And so they had an altar call and everyone went up just about except for me. I'm sitting there like, if I go up there, it's gonna be because God calls me up there. I can be like that. So Melinda and her were praying or whatever. So the woman looked at me and went like that. I'm going, but I'm not going because she told me to. I'm going because God told me to. So I went up front. Now, this is the true story. I played football back in the day, and I kind of knew the stance, right? So I go up, and I go like this. I'm not going down. You're not pushing me down. So I'm like this, and she starts praying over me. Now, this woman was from way up. Texas is one place. So I was having some issues with my principal. He and I were having some issues. And I was really struggling with my relationship with him. And So she started praying over me about my relationship with my boss. And she prayed for the release of that conflict and that we'd be able to come together, compromise, and work together, something like that. I went down.
Oops.
And she wasn't, she was as far as Bob is from me. So she didn't touch me. I mean, I was like this and I went down. Now that's about the only time that's ever happened, but it was real. But it was God, not people. So anyway, I'm not sure where I was going with that. Just that God can do whatever he wants to do with whatever he wants to work with. But we do have to mix it. I could have stayed in my seat, and that never would have happened. Later on, my boss hired me as his assistant principal. And that's another story. And that's because of what the Lord did. So we need to identify and get rid of some of those things that hinder our walk and hinder our growth. Don't give power to the demons. And you're not going to yell the demons out of your life. You're going to pray on them through him and through the Holy Spirit. Strongholds, we all have strongholds. We all have oppression, powerlessness in many cases, wrong thinking. Get rid of all that. And I'm trying to do that. Ask the Lord to help and show you his power, his loving kindness, his wisdom, strength through the Holy Spirit to free us. Align us with his plans versus our own. Stay grounded in his word. Use our time wisely, making good choices that line up with his will and promise. Someone said one time, if you want to find out what people are doing with their money, look at their checkbook. If you want to find out what people are doing with their time, see what they're doing with their time. Now, we had a chance to do some stuff to help Kelly yesterday. What a time we had.
It's awesome.
And men do that regularly. Sometimes I get upset with the men because they're not quite as on fire as the women are. But I'll tell you what, if you want something done, you call a bunch of people in this group. I had a guy who had a whole bunch of family up. He called me at 10 o'clock or 10:30, wanted to know if we were all set, if we needed help. That's what this body's all about, helping each other. And these guys will, the guys in the back row can attest to what goes on. You got a problem, someone calls, boom. You got people there and you got stuff being done. So be diligent, though, also with your time and with your talents and with your relationships. Develop godly habits. So I don't know about you, but I need some maybe minor or major altering situation, I guess, regarding the condition of my heart. Proverbs 15:15 is one of my favorites. It says, all the days of downcast are bad, but a cheerful heart has an everlasting banquet, a continual feast, a cheerful heart. It's not always me. It's like, let's go, Jonathan Kahn, a quote says, you want to have more good days than bad? Don't seek after it. Seek to have a good heart instead, and the good days will follow. Let today, this year, be determined by what's within you, not what's around you. That always made me think of coaching, I never put winning at the top. I always put the fundamental stuff and working together as a team, and the wins will take care of themselves. If you put, I'm going to have a good day up at the top, and your heart's not right, it's not going to happen. Get your heart right, and your days will be good no matter how bad they are. Have confidence. Each day, each year, each new season, with gratitude and hope, after all, God's loving kindness never ends. It never fails. His love and compassion endure forever. They are new every morning. That's from Lamentations 3. Stick with your walk no matter what's going on with him, and don't forget the basics as you continue to grow and mature in him. Now, if you are one who thinks you have it all together because you know the Bible through and through, or you're just happy and content and comfortable where you are, be careful. Because it's not about knowledge necessarily as much as it is about relationship, balance. You've got to have a balance. You can know the word through and through, but is there any fruit coming out of that? If there isn't, then you need to change a little bit and have a different relationship. The balance between knowledge and relationship are vital in our walk with Him. Involve the whole team. I went to a basketball game last week, and I broadcast a few games with Butch Ladd, and there was a team that was ahead by 40-some points, and they didn't put the subs in until three-quarters of the way through the fourth period. And there were three or four kids that didn't get the play. Use your whole team. Same thing in the body. Use your whole team. There are talents out here that we probably don't even know of. So use the whole team. It's not just a select group of people that do stuff. It's everybody that works together. Don't go alone, and don't ever think you're better than those who are not as faithful as you or maybe struggling in their walk. Or maybe they're even resisting God. Who's going to bring them into that a better relationship with Him? Us. So don't look down on people. I remember coming out of Dunkin' Donuts at one time, and a friend of mine was saying, those people in there are all pagans. There's no hope for them. Look at us. There's hope for everybody. Be humble. As God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, from James 4:6. Grace is a fallen, grace in a fallen and imperfect world is a huge part of the revival we need and want in this country. Now, this is kind of a funny story, but last Monday we had a Christmas Eve service here, and I put together the O Holy Night words to the song, and I left out one line, and so we were all kind of like up here, and I mean a whole bunch of guys, I don't know how many there were,
quite a few.
So we got to that last line, even me, I'm going like, something's not right here. So we managed to get through it. So this woman had mentioned, you guys did a great job. You messed up a little at the end, but you bounced back really good, and it sounded awesome. And that's the attitude we need to have. So here's another one. Take steps to move away from your past and move forward in God. Always be open to new things. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm going to stay where I am. Be open to new things and new attitudes that the Holy Spirit wants to instill in you. We can have a laissez-faire mentality. Linda, is that how I say that? Just let things take their own course without any interference. We don't want to interfere with anything. Just let it go. Everything's fine. No harm, no foul. Status quo, let's just keep everything the way it is. Sometimes I can get like that, and then sometimes I can be on the other end. I mean, I'm up in the middle of the night thinking about something. Just let it go. Well, there's a point where you let it go, but there's a point where you maybe have to deal with it. So I had a dream last night, and I had a dream the other night about a basketball game, but I had a dream last night about, I was in a group of people, mostly young people, Linda and I were there, and I don't remember any details. All I know is that the Holy Spirit in that dream convicted me that I needed to confess that I was not, I missed the perfect, that I was vulnerable, that I was just a regular guy going through life like everybody else is. And I mean, the Holy Spirit convicted me in my dream that I needed to share that with people. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. So I did in my dream. And again, there were a lot of young people there. And so I confessed to them that I was not who I pretended to be. That I was a vulnerable human being who had the Lord in my life, but I wasn't letting Him use me the way He needed to use me. And they all came, they all gathered around. And that happened to me up here one time, a number of years ago, when people, I confessed something and people gathered around me and you prayed over me. So that I don't know why I had that dream, I guess for today, that, it's okay to be vulnerable. Like people, the confessions we had this morning, that's huge. For some of you people, saying that in public could be a huge thing. I don't know. But I appreciate people stepping out. But there are times, I remember once Malcolm had a message about being plugged in, and they had an altar call. Sam gave an altar call, and nobody came up. And some of you have heard this story before, but not all of you. So I'm sitting there thinking, I really want to be plugged in. You've got it. And he was talking about a drill, because now you have battery power, but you still got to charge them, right? But he was talking about literally plugging the, you know, the drill in so you could run it. So I kind of quietly went up to Sam and I asked him, can you give that altar call again? And he did. And he said, does anyone want to come up here and, you know, ask for prayer for being plugged in? And so I got up and came to the front. And the next thing you know, everybody else followed me. So after, I said, why did I have to do that? Well, you know, we're shy, we don't, you know, we didn't want, you know, make a spectacle, and maybe people would look at it, oh, well, it must be, you know, Glenn's not plugged in, well, poor Glenn, you know. I'm just using him as an example. So let's be bold. Reggie's talked about that forever. Be bold. If the Lord's putting something on your hat, boy, don't fight it. I mean, we've had semi-altar calls, like a few weeks ago, anyone want to be more joyful or want to, you know, gird up your joy? Come on up for prayer. You know how many people came up?
Zero.
We have backroom prayer. Sometimes it's, I'm there, or Reg is there, or nobody's there. So be more bold. Don't be afraid to ask for it. If you've got a need, ask for it. It's okay. So as I said, Reggie has talked about being bold. Be strong for the Lord. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. It makes me think of another word called, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but it's called ratzone, R-A-T-Z-O-N-E, ratzone. It's a Hebrew word for favor, excuse me, will, desire, pleasure, and satisfaction. Favor, will, desire, pleasure, satisfaction. Those are all pretty positive words. Would you like to have a year of rat zone? I would. So let's bring all aspects of our lives into God's will, be more committed and dedicated to Him, and maybe we'll have a rat zone moment. Also, be prepared for what's ahead. We don't know what's going to happen in 2024, but be prepared, because we know good things are going to happen and not so good things are going to happen. And so take advantage of every day. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, be very careful how you live, not being like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom, for we are living in evil times. So true wisdom, honorable, with understanding. So if you want to talk about resolutions, how about the Ten Commandments? If you can't think of any resolutions, pick the Ten Commandments. You know, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to honor my father, I'm going to, you know, all those things. Or how about the attitudes? You want to be full of mercy? I got to find where I've got all the different... I got it here somewhere. Poor in spirit, mourning, meek, you hunger and thirst, and a persecutor for righteousness, you're merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. When you're insulted by people, keep smiling, because you're doing it for God. Matthew 6, 1 and 2 says, be especially careful when you are trying to be good, so that you don't make it a performance of it. Don't make it a performance. Do it because of what's in your heart and what God's telling you. Because the God who made you won't need a body. Really and truly evaluate the life you're living, including your lifestyles, habits, attitudes, language, everything. Obviously, there's more. I mean, really, when you think about it, this whole book is full of New Year's resolutions. You can pick any chapter in any book, and there's going to be something in there that's going to guide you and direct you. Bottom line is, what changes do we need to make? What changes are you willing to make in all aspects of our lives, especially spiritually, to ensure a connection, or a better connection and a continual connection with the Lord in 2024? Let Him help you identify Him, and then look closely and honestly to the list and begin the transformation. Regardless of where you are on the walk, we're all imperfect people. We need discipline. We need to have questions answered. The same question that was posed to the people in 1 Kings 18:21. How long will you halt, limp, hesitate, and waver between two opinions? Have one opinion for him. If the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal, if you believe Baal is, follow him. I'm not telling you to do that. In my opinion, no matter where you are in your walk, we all have a tendency to walk sometimes on the fence, and the way we think and the way we act. So in conclusion, make 2024 a year where we will waver less and less in our minds and in our attitudes and our behaviors. Be steadfast to him. Put on the full armor of God. John's talked about that extensively. Mel did. Marie did in her Sunday school class. And Linda and Jolinda and Mary and all the girls are doing an armor of God study starting in January. So put on the full armor of God and get into battle. Sometimes we put on the full armor of God and we stand in the corner. Put it on and get into the battle. Because without it, the battle is... it's going to be tough. Psalm 119:11, treasure his word in your heart so that you may not sin against him. Treasure it in your heart so you won't sin against him. 1 Timothy 4:8b says, godliness, which is spiritual training, is profitable in everything and in every way, for it holds promise for the present life and for the life that is yet to come. And remember, too, that the condition of our heart will have a great influence on what happens to us today, tomorrow, and throughout, actually, the rest of our lives. Do not be deterred by callous words, a religious spirit, worldly attitudes, or political opinions of others. May our faith continually grow with no wavering, filled with perseverance and fortitude, and be thankful that since it's a leap year, you've got an extra day. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for not only you getting us through 2023. You did some marvelous, miraculous things during that time. But we thank you for what you're going to do. Today, tomorrow, 2024, we just pray, Lord, that we will get refocused if we need to, or better focused on you, on your Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that we would grab a hold of your vision for us as individuals, for us as a church body, for us as families, for us as a nation. And that even in our little world up here in the North Country of New Hampshire, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we can make a difference. We can make a difference in our town, in our community, in our state, in our country, and who knows, even in the world. So I thank you for this group of people here that are represented. Thank you for their hearts. I don't know where their hearts are. I have a good idea where some of them are, but I just pray that you will continue to work on their hearts. Guide them, protect them, strengthen them, and help them to get through this coming year with us being lights in a dark world. We thank you and we praise you for what you're doing, what you've done, and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I was thinking about that, Steve, with the resolution thing. When I was at the gym, when I used to go to the gym and stuff, and the new year would come in. And